It's honestly one of my favorite scriptures. I absolutely love. I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I love the way it's written. And this example here is, to me, one of the best as to why I love these things so much. When we think of church, when I think of Christianity, from my childhood, some of the images that come up very quickly are things like Sunday's best, making sure your hair is combed just right, everyone and with their hats and their dresses, you know, just this beauty, this big to do. You know, everything's got to be right. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything has its place, and there's a place for everything. And I met a lot of people over the years who are just like that, and who desire that kind of attention to detail. I met a woman who yelled at me, this is years and years and years ago, for carrying the offering plate down at my side like this. I was carrying that because you have to hold the offering plate like this, because everything has its place and there's a place for everything. It's got to be done just so. And the thought was, I think, you know how fond I am of sayings, is that devil's in the deep details. I think they figured if you use the details to worship God, then you can drive the devil out. I don't know if that's the case, but everything had to be just so. In order for God to like it, for God to appreciate it, everything had to be perfect. But as I grew up, I found that the life is far from perfect. Life is, it's messy, it's dirty, it's messy hair, it's forgetting your shoes when you go to church. I brought my snow boots, but I forgot my shoes at home. Life is a lot like a baby. Stuff comes out of it on both ends at the least opportune time. Babies don't poop or throw up on a schedule. They just do it when you never want them to. And I feel like that's life. It's just stuff comes at you when you don't want it to. And God works through life. Christ lives in life. And it's in those moments, those inopportune times, in the times when everything's at its messiest and its cuckiest, that Jesus works. And the Bible shows that. When we look at the Bible and we try to model our perfect way of living off of the disciples and Jesus' ministry, I don't know what Bible we're reading, but it's not there. The disciples were fallible people that made mistakes. The life that Jesus lived and walked was rough and dirty, and it wasn't all clear and clean cut. Whenever I try to make an introduction to people, there's the other saying. What's that? How's that saying go? Something about first impressions. You know that how important first impressions are. So we try to get our first impressions just perfect, so that people will think the best of us at the beginning. And so, you know, like when I met Stephanie, our first date was a swing dance in Pittsburgh. She wanted to go swing dancing down by. Up by Chatham College. There's a little place they do. It's called Swing City, if anyone's interested. A real nice place. All ages go. It's very clean. And it's just, they have 15 minutes prior to the 2 hours of dancing they have, they do lessons. And so if you don't know how to do, they show you how. And then just enough to enjoy the swing music and dance. A lot of fun. So we went. And I wanted to make such a good first impression on her. I wanted it to be perfect. And we got to the door, and it's like $10 a person to get in or something. And I grabbed my wallet, and I didn't have it. I had misplaced my wallet. It was gone. And I looked at her, and I said, oops. And she said, that's okay. So she pulled out her money and paid for us to get in on our first date. We want it to be perfect, but oftentimes it's not. When I think of Jesus' first impression to the world, his first opportunity to show his first miracle, you'd want it to be big. I mean, to advertise yourself, to put your best foot forward, you want it to be big, but Jesus' first miracle was, I mean, it was grand. I haven't seen anyone turn water into wine since. As much as I try, it just doesn't work. Got to buy it. But Jesus, he turned water to wine at a wedding. A small gathering with family and friends and his disciples. And nobody knew. Nobody knew that it had happened except for just a few people. That's what I love about the Bible. Because who those few people were speaks volumes to Jesus' ministry. The few people who knew about Jesus' very first miracle were the disciples, Mary and Jesus, obviously, but also the servants. And that was it. It's nobody else. The bride and groom, no idea. The headmaster, no idea. The guests, no idea. It was Jesus, the disciples, his mother, and the servants. The lowly, the overlooked, the ones that other people don't give any credit or any thought of, they were the ones who found out first. And then I think about life and it at its messiest and how we try to do everything so great and so wonderful and give the best. But the truth is, Jesus just takes us as we are. And this first miracle shows that with all kinds of beauty and grace. That me, just who I am, all the difficulties and rough edges that I come with, Jesus chose me and chose to love me. Just one of the servants. And so us too. We, in doing that, Christ takes away all of our excuses. We don't have to be the best. We may say things like in the future, who am I to serve Jesus? You're just you. And that's all Christ needs. That's all Jesus wants. And so then when we go out and love others, then we too must be challenged by Christ, that those people who we put our time and our energy and love in aren't to be judged based upon them being the best or the brightest or the richest, but just anyone, even the servants, even the lowly, just those who we meet in our life, that's who we're to love because that's who Christ loved first. And I appreciate the challenge, as difficult as it is. Jesus' first miracles were just to those everyone else overlooks. And so I praise God that Christ doesn't overlook anybody, but loves each whom he encounters. And so I pray that we do the same.